Millions of American students lack access to the technology they need to succeed in the digital world. Verizon Innovative Learning has helped over 1 million kids get free tech education, and they'll help 2 million more by 2021. Learn more at verizoninnovativelearning.com/WS1.
With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Stocks and commodities have been moving in lockstep as of late. We'll tell you in a moment why that could mean more dark clouds ahead for investors. First, these money and market stories you should know. A study by the group Child Care Aware of America says that parents in the U.S. spent an average of $9,000 to $9,600 annually for one child's daycare last year. That's up about 7.5% from the previous year. And the pressure on household budgets is getting tighter. A married couple making the national median income of about $87,750 will have to devote 10.6% of their money for childcare, up from 10.2% the year before. And for single parents, childcare costs can eat up 37% of household income. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has recommended childcare costs should account for no more than 7% of family income. And like many of us, you probably didn't win much money in the recent Mega Millions or Powerball lottery drawings, but what if you won $180 million in the lottery? The Wall Street Journal Real Estate Bureau profiles California resident Rick Knudsen, who did just that, and bought a $5.5 million, 16,000-square-foot luxury mountain home on 50 acres, and then spent millions more on an adjacent 155-acre buffalo ranch. The house has an elevator, a gym, a wine cellar, a one-bedroom guest apartment, and a wraparound deck. On the grounds, there are two barns, a caretaker's home, a stocked fishing pond, and a 5.5-mile hiking and driving trail. In all, he spent more than $11 million on property and buildings. Now he's listing the property for $22 million. See his story on WSJ.com. October's market volatility, which has included several deep sell-offs, is revealing a very troubling signal for anyone who is waiting for Wall Street's turbulence to subside. And Wall Street Journal Markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar is here with us to shed some light. So Amrith, what's significant here is the fact that stocks and commodities are moving in large part in unison. Well, what does that tell you about investor sentiment?
Yeah, it's a really interesting topic because at any given time, it can kind of give various signals, right? But basically, the idea is that a lot of these riskier assets, so stocks in the U.S., global stocks, a lot of the commodities, when they're moving in the same direction, a lot of people think that they can kind of indicate excessive sentiment in either direction. So when all of these things are going up together, then that can kind of signal excessive optimism, which is what we saw in January, for example. And when they're going the opposite direction, it might be a sign that things are oversold and they might keep going that way until there's some sort of external event. So really, people kind of use it as a gauge of where sentiment is and to see what areas of the market they could kind of seek shelter in. And so when all of these things, again, are moving together, it makes it much harder to like figure out what pockets you might prefer or anything like that. So it's a really kind of a gauge of sentiment in that regard.
And people you spoke with for your story say mm-hmm. that there is more downside in the market to come.
Well, the story went out, I think, before Wednesday's really big rout. So in that sense, I think they're kind of right about that. But that is the idea, right? Right now, a lot of the correlations are approaching one, which means a lot of stocks and commodities are moving in the same direction. And again, we're in this very down period for markets right now. So that is why I think that is the conclusion people would make. And again, a lot of the moves seem very big, and there are large intraday swings, which tells people that this is just kind of jittery selling at various points and not necessarily people looking at fundamentals like earnings or economic data. They're just kind of very nervous. And so that's, again, the thing we've seen in February, like correlations had gotten really high during that sell-off before it, and then again during the sell-off, and that's kind of what we're seeing now again too.
And so when markets move together, it's called correlation, as you mentioned, and correlation is measured on a scale of -1 to 1. Mm-hmm. Where has the market been in the correlation scale during this current period of volatility?
Yeah, so the S&P 500 and the MSCI All Country World Index, basically a commonly looked at stock market gauge for global stocks, the correlation is at 0.95, which, as you just mentioned, that's pretty close to one. So that means they're almost moving in perfect unison on a 20-day rolling correlation standard. The correlation between the S&P 500 and the S&P GSCI index for commodities is now back at 0.8, which is, again, also pretty close to 1. And then if you look at the other side, so like for the S&P 500 and gold, which has been this cast-aside haven asset for almost the entire year, that correlation has become negative 0.8. So then they're moving the opposite direction. That's, again, a sign to some people that we're seeing really deep risk aversion. We're seeing a really big risk-off mentality kind of gripping markets, even regardless of what's going on in the world. And the big overlying theme, again, is when all of these things are moving together, people think that the fundamental global economic worries that have been out there for a while are kind of intensifying. And that's why we're seeing just deep risk aversion again.
Are we talking all commodities here when we're talking about the correlation during this period of volatility? Or are there some commodities that are not on the table, not part of the discussion?
That's a really good question. So the GSCI index I mentioned is very heavily weighted toward energy, so oil and other energy commodities. But it is a little bit tricky. I would say, generally speaking, the answer is yes. So we've seen that oil has been falling a lot, and people have been saying in the oil market that there are, yes, signs of increasing supply, which is fundamental, but also just signs on these days where everything is going down that oil is falling a lot more also. A few days ago, for example, oil was down something like 4%, its worst day since July, and things like that have been happening with increasing frequency across commodities. So a lot of the metals, for example, were already so beaten down that when these things happen, again, people are inclined to sell. And that's really the worrying sign that people aren't really looking at the fundamentals, again, to some analysts.
And the volatility that we've seen this year, especially this year, has featured lots of sell-offs, but also days of enormous gains, one-day gains like we have seen on Thursday. It's really like, hold on to your seats.
Right. And the flip side is also true, right? Today is Thursday and we're seeing like a big rally across all these risky assets again, generally. So I think that's the idea that, like you mentioned, hold on to your seats, because when you come in on any given day when markets are like this, you could see outsized moves in either direction, and those moves can reverse as the day goes on. So that's, again, why the higher correlations are worrying, because there aren't pockets of stability as much, even with all this earnings and economic data we've seen. And a lot of people, again, coming into this earnings season earlier in October, people had said, okay, but once we get solid earnings data, the market might calm down. And this is, again, kind of a sign that that hasn't really happened. This might be a bit more of a protracted period of weakness than what we saw in February.
Okay, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Amrith Ramkumar joining us here in our studio. Amrith, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.